Getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
From CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Julia Brooks. In West Alabama, a Butler County man is sentenced to 60 years in prison for the 2017 murder of a nightclub security guard. Sylvester Elliott was convicted for murdering Clifford Bonner last September. District Attorney Michael Jackson says Elliott shot and killed Bonner, who worked security at the club, after Bonner tried to stop him from getting in. Making news across Alabama, at least 8 people are dead and several missing after a fire destroyed a boat dock in Jackson County. Several people were hospitalized and are in stable condition with injuries that are not considered life-threatening. It's still unclear what started that fire, but several agencies are involved in the investigation. The Alabama legislative session is kicking off in a week with some big items to expect this year. There's already talks of introducing a new lottery bill after 2 stalled in the state house last year, plus another attempt to get rid of the state's grocery tax, and the biggest issue, prison reform. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Jalea Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
You've just arrived home from a relaxing and well-deserved vacation. As you walk in the door, you hear a squish. That old water heater in your attic has leaked through your ceiling and into your living room, ruining family photos, furniture, and who knows what else. You wonder if this headache could have been avoided. With a tankless water heater from Headley Plumbing, you eliminate the possibility of leaks and maximize your savings. An endless hot water supply means you have the freedom to run the dishwasher, do a load of laundry, and grab a shower without getting an arctic blast of cold water. Talk to Headley today, 285-3667, or visit them online at HeadleyPlumbing.com.
River Region residents know that Headley Plumbing has quick and affordable plumbing and septic services. You can also find quality metal buildings at Headley Plumbing. A new storage building, carports up to 24 feet wide, even a sturdy metal barn up to 54 feet wide. RV owners, check your warranty. Many manufacturers require that your RV is stored undercover to keep your warranty in force. Call Headley Metal Buildings today at 285-3667 or visit HeadleyMetalBuildings.com.
36 days. That's how long it takes the average company to find their next hire. Glassdoor can help you quickly find the right job candidate in half the resumes. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. And Glassdoor hires are committed. They're 30% more likely to stay with your business longer. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
Discover why Audible is the best way to stay informed, inspired, and entertained. Right now, save $50 on your first year of Audible at audible.com. You get to choose any 12 audiobooks so you can listen to bestsellers and hear leading experts on topics like finance, fitness, relationships, and more. Listening is the new reading. And right now, your first year is just $99.50. That's a $50 savings. But hurry, it ends January 31st. Visit audible.com today.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Well, welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show. On a Tuesday, 272-9228. Any call can get in. 334 Market Gift Basket Drawing. What's in that gift basket? $60 with the goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Then if you're a first-time caller, your name goes in twice. That's a good deal, isn't it? We're expecting Barry Moore to step in at any moment, but we can do keep going on with other stuff. Let's pick back up with that Peter Ducey on the campaign trail in Iowa.
Sorry. A critical swing state in this election. The only other candidate spending money in Florida and swing states around the country, and this is serious, the only other one is Donald Trump.
Bloomberg is hoping Democrats wait till Super Tuesday to pick a favorite, as Buttigieg banks on Iowa.
And now it's decision time.
Pressed about his position on abortion, Buttigieg doubled down in a Fox News town hall.
Do you want the support of pro-life Democrats, pro-life Democratic voters? There are about 21 million of us.
I respect where you're coming from, and I hope to earn your vote. But I'm not going to try to earn your vote by tricking you.
Another complicated issue for Democrats campaigning to reverse Trump policies is trade.
I've been asked, well, since President Trump has put these tariffs on you, how does that make you feel? Well, he didn't. China put the tariffs on my product.
Caucus-goers have 1 week left to make up their minds, and they might have to do it without hearing a closing argument from senators stuck at work.
I have zero idea what's going to be happening this week or perhaps future weeks. Nobody really does know.
Elizabeth Warren has a plan to try to change the minds of undecided Iowa Democrats while she is stuck in D.C. Her campaign is updating digital billboards. There's one on the other side of this big truck to say that she was endorsed by the Des Moines Register over the weekend, but because it is this type of billboard, we timed it. You only see her every 41 seconds here in Des Moines.
Poor Elizabeth.
I know.
And Pete is falling like a rock, too. I mean, that's the poll trend. I mean, he was leading in a bunch of these polls just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's,
and now it's third or fourth.
He makes a good first impression, but the more you hear him,
it's almost like, would you leave our state?
Right.
You can do better?
Exactly. And can you imagine just you? I saw you chuckling hearing Bernie there. I don't know what's going to happen this week or even next week. Who knows? Who knows? Can you imagine debates between Trump and Bernie?
Oh, it's going to be priceless. And let me tell you something. They better start getting in there and really mixing it up a lot more than they're doing. They're doing this kind of ho-hum kind of answers to things and trying to be liked. And I hate to say this, but there's a factor of toughness that people are looking for. And that was something that Bernie just couldn't pull off when he was running as Hillary, and Hillary wouldn't tough it up.
And either. He did it again. He apologized about the Joe Biden thing, and I just don't think that's what people want. Like, this idea that, I don't know, maybe I'm just out of touch with it, but this, of the great statesman Joe Biden, how dare you question him? Oh, give me a break.
Well, I mean, Joe does tough Joe. He does, you know, challenge people to push up. He punches him in the chest. And I think that people like a piece of that.
That's true. Though I'd love to see somebody actually take Joe up on the push-up contest. Apparently, Tulsi Gabbard.
I saw that.
Yeah. And
with a guy basically her age.
And she can do some push-ups.
She can.
She's in good shape.
She is in good shape.
I've done the research.
You dedicated yourself, didn't you?
Yes.
I like that. Let's see. Ted Cruz got into a little discussion with a press person. This is amazing.
Ted Cruz came out and he was standing in front of the podium answering. He was talking and the reporters were trying to interrupt him. He said, hold on, I'm going to finish. But one of the reporters really hit a nerve with him because he basically said, all of you in Washington, if it's wrong for Joe Biden to put his son on a board, then all of you should be in prison, basically saying you've all done it for your kids. Keep in mind, Ted Cruz has little kids. He was offended.
We've just seen 2 hours of evidence. And at a minimum, it was not only reasonable and justified, but the president, I think, had an obligation to investigate corruption that potentially extended to the very highest levels of government.
Senator Hunter Biden got a job. If that was vice president, if that's a crime, I mean, shouldn't half of your children be in prison?
My children are 9 and 11. I'm sorry that you want to throw a 9-year-old in prison. Wow. But at this point, my third grader plays basketball and softball at her school. So stop playing the nasty. No, stop playing the nasty Washington game.
I'm sorry, that's not nasty Washington game.
Sam. Attacking a 9-year-old?
Let me tell you, and that's what it is. It really is. These people are kind of like, I'm going to get you, and me getting you is what I do. That's what I'm supposed to do. You're a Republican, I'm a reporter, I get you. They don't do that to Democrats.
I can't stand that type of reporting, too. I could never do that job. Maybe there's a role for it, but I could never do that job where you're just yelling obnoxious questions at people.
Ugh. Well, and it's a particular group of people that you do that with. They're sitting out, laying in wait for these folks. If a Democrat walks up, is they are this high, mighty, high platitude discussion. We must have witnesses. You've had witnesses. What do you mean we need a trial has witnesses? Well, the trial that went on over in the House had witnesses. It had documents. Don't do anything. None of that's ever happened. You can go have the witnesses of the ones that testified before the House. What you need to say is we want new witnesses because our old witnesses are kind of like retread tires. They're not doing too hot. And we don't want to take them on the trip. We may be on the side of the road politically, so to speak. without Don Duncan. Don Duncan, political repair tires.
Well, I was just saying here, Alan Dershowitz was ripping into Elizabeth Warren on Twitter. Apparently, she did something. Actually, I lost it. But he said, you have no understanding of the law. Like, she said, I couldn't follow his presentation. It's like, yeah, if you want to be president.
She's a former law professor.
Right. And
at Harvard.
It was quite easy to follow if you listened to him.
Yeah, I thought he was very good. As a matter of fact, when I was listening to him, that professorship just kind of oozed out of him. It was very good. He was very, I mean, he had you there.
And I love the drama where he even kind of went off mic and just looked directly at the house managers and chef saying, I'm sorry, my colleagues, but you did not meet the constitutional standards. Like, saying it kind of as a fellow Democrat and defending the Constitution was a good moment.
It was indeed. K.T. McFarland, who used to be in the NSA, is going to talk about the Bolton story. She has some interesting insight.
Want the president to consult the best possible advisors and know that whatever he discusses with them isn't going to appear in the press or in books.
What they should have done is taken the position that, even assuming, for argument's sake, that the president orchestrated a pressure campaign on Zelensky, in the end here, nothing happened worthy of impeachment. And if they had taken that tack, I think Bolton's revelation here, rather than being a bombshell, would have been something quite different.
Breaking tonight, new reaction to the New York Times anonymous sources on former National Security Advisor John Bolton's book. Tonight, Trump defense team member Alan Dershowitz says even if the claims are true, they're not impeachable. Well, let's bring in President Trump's first Deputy National Security Advisor, K.T. McFarland. My question to you is, you know, you have had access and been a party to very sensitive conversations. I mean, how do you go about deciding what you're going to put in a book? Because this stuff sells, and a lot of people are questioning the timing about this particular leak.
Well, here's the thing. You write a book. First of all, I want to preface this by saying, when I worked for President Trump, unlike previous presidents that I've worked for, everybody in the meeting had a notebook, and everybody was taking probably verbatim notes. Mm. It would drive Trump nuts, and he said, you know, what are you doing with that? How many of those people walked out the door with verbatim notes? Now, you're not supposed to. You're not allowed to. And in most cases, especially in the ones that I participated in, there was a lot of classified information, which is why I'm a little suspicious of this whole New York Times story. It says that John Bolton submitted his book to the National Security Council mm-hmm. for their review for classified information. Well, you have to submit any writing to two places. One, to the National Security Council for classified information, but you also have to submit it to the White House Legal Counsel for the argument of executive privilege. What you've just said, did the president in private meetings talk about things that shouldn't be released to the public? Does the president have the right to have confidential conversations with his staff? And that's the key of all of this, mm-hmm. executive privilege. I think it ends up in the courts.
Now, if she is correct with that, that it had to go to the White House Counsel Office, the head of the White House Counsel Office is part of the defense team. Now, you listen to Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer goes, well, they got the transcript, and then he told them all not to show up. Well, he told them not to show up a long time ago. I mean, it was a month ago when he sent the transcript. It was a month ago when they voted on articles of impeachment. So Chuck Schumer's driving me nuts. He's going sleazebag a la mode. So K.T. McFarland, who was there, very interesting insight here. Suspicious a manuscript description. Listen to this.
Critics of the president have said is that it did get to somebody like Pat Cipollone, White House counsel, that there are people who saw it, and because of that, they ramped up their efforts to keep him from testifying. We've heard the president say, listen, I'm fine for these people to testify, but it sets a bad precedent, and then no president can feel like they can have these conversations. Meanwhile, Byron York says this tonight, there's no way to assess what Bolton has written, because no one in the public, and that appears to include the news organizations that broke the Bolton story, has read what Bolton has written. What precisely did Bolton say, and in what words did he say it? The public is entirely in the dark. And I was thinking about this weekend. You remember we heard about the whistleblower and the call. Democrats immediately yes. said, there's trouble here. We need to investigate this. And then when we saw the transcript, a lot of people thought, it maybe didn't arise to the level of what the Democrats and the whistleblower had said. People can argue about that. But the fact is, if the writers of the piece in the New York Post or New York Times haven't seen the manuscript themselves, are they mm-hmm. being sold something that's more exciting than what's in the Bolton book?
Yes.
We have no way of knowing right now. It's all speculation.
You really don't. I mean, it's either somebody who fed it to the New York Times or it's the New York Times. I know from my own experience where the New York Times wrote stories about me where they were quoting emails or conversations I had, they were incorrect. They were fake news. Now, was there a nugget of truth in them? Sure, but then they went in a totally different direction. I just, you know, until somebody sees this transcript, until somebody sees the manuscript, I think we're all just blowing around a lot of hot air. The other thing that's really odd is that it says in the New York Times article that Bolton submitted a hard copy of his manuscript. That's not how you submit them. You have mm-hmm. to submit them electronically. And if he and so I think that the whole story, I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Now, other things that have kind of gone on is that, and what says in the New York Times interview is that there were several copies of the manuscript made. And maybe what they did is they took it electronically and they printed out copy. These NSC people, that place needs to be cleaned house. Let me go to a break. Papa John, coming back to you right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Goodbye, overpriced coffee shop card. Toodaloo, clothing store card I got for that one-time discount on the perfect little black dress. Adios, high-interest card I should not have opened. Farewell, hardware store card. See you
later. Say goodbye to high-interest credit cards, multiple bill payments, and a wallet full of debt. And say hello to one simple payment with 0% balance transfer to a Guardian Credit Union Visa card. Think local, think Guardian. Call us or apply online today at myguardiancu.com.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A retired Air Force pilot in Pike Road was experiencing some turbulence with his money. So he called Alabama Home Mortgage to see what we could do to help.
We lowered his monthly payment by $587, reduced his term by 5 whole years, and allowed him to skip 2 mortgage payments. With Alabama Home Mortgage as his co-pilot, he was able to soar to new financial heights.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NMLS 1586. 636-8, equal housing lender.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Montgomery area helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Montgomery area helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. expected to be here at 1:45. Let's go to Papa John. Papa John, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, Daniel. How are you?
I am good, my friend. And you?
I'm great. I hadn't been listening because it was on the way back to the gym, but let me ask you a question. They never got around to trying to impeach Romulus Maximus, but did not Iran-Contra happen during his first term?
Yes.
It did. Now, see, this makes me, I'm trying to make parallels where maybe there are none. But I think that had a lot to do with his runaway victory in his second term. Do you agree?
Now, wait, when you say Iran-Contra, are you talking about the hearings or arms for trade? Let me see when the hearing was. The actual event itself happened. It happened after the election.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Yeah, the hearing dates were August 20th, 1985.
Oh, okay. But I thought it happened earlier.
But Ali was up in OEOB doing his thing in the first term. That's what I thought you meant.
Okay. Well, I've got my timing wrong, but I was thinking to myself, this may have the same result with the second term election being a walk away, a landslide. But this whole thing with the way it's been handled so far, with Congress going through their procedure as fast as they did and not doing the things they should have, it really makes me believe that the Senate should not cooperate with them in the least. I think if it's left up to the Senate, if they decide that there's not going to be any witnesses brought, I think that's the way it ought to be. The Congress had their opportunity. If they wanted to bring Brother John up and talk to him, they should have done it a long time ago.
They didn't even send him a subpoena.
Yeah, I mean, it was like they were playing like they had a slam dunk, which I think maybe it was the other way. They knew they had nothing at all, so they wanted to have a tempest in a teacup just so they could have some attention brought to themselves.
I think the second part is that actually what happened. They kept telling everybody it was a slam dunk. It wasn't a slam dunk. They needed more. They passed it. She didn't send it over. She did he's been impeached for life. Then they are gathering the Parnas and some other information. They know about the Bolton stuff through an NSC leak. And then they go in and throw that in at the 11th hour. And watch. Watch what happens today. They're going to adjourn, they're going to finish, and watch another shoe hit.
Bingo. You just hit it. I'm looking for the same thing to happen. Well, look, hey, put me in for Sweet Creek.
Give me a month and day of birth.
9/10.
9/10, you got it, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. You got him? Let's stay with K.T. McFarland letting the senators see the manuscript, which is something that also Langford has talked about, which we'll get into.
Well, we just had Senator Langford on, and he said he thinks that senators should have a look at the manuscript. They can do that in a classified setting. Mm-hmm. Fred Flights, you saw last hour, said, I think that he should pull this book. Well, the Wall Street Journal says this, the editorial board says the former NSC advisor should tell the public what he knows. With the news of what's in the book already public, Mr. Bolton can help everyone, including himself, by erasing any doubt about what he knows. This doesn't require testifying to the Senate. Mr. Bolton could do it in a public statement, a TV interview, or an op-ed in this publication. And like Senator Langford said, there's nothing stopping him. There are microphones everywhere. He can come and tell us his story or whatever he wants to say. That would obviously hurt book sales if he gives away everything that's in the book. It's not due out until March. But what do you think he should do with the book?
I don't think he should have written the book, although who knows what's in it? I mean, I've written a book which doesn't reveal classified information and which doesn't reveal private conversations that I've had with President Trump. I don't know what John Bolton has done. I do know that when President Trump has fired him, as Trump has done with many other people that he's fired, humiliatingly and ignominiously, he kicks them on the way out the door instead of letting them leave with their sort of humility intact. So is there a chip on somebody's shoulder? Might be. I also don't think John Bolton is the kind of man who would deliberately mislead
the country on something as important as this. But only time will tell. But I honestly think that that Wall Street Journal article saying, editorial saying, well, he could, you know, he has a microphone, he can write an editorial, that's never going to be enough for the Democrats in the House or in the Senate, because it's not really about what happened. It's about what they can do to impede Trump's ability to win in 2020.
That's exactly. It's never going to be enough. The other part of this thing is kind of interesting. This book comes out in March. It's going to be February next week. Mm-hmm. It's like February, March. So this thing's going to come out in 8 weeks. The thing is, if all of a sudden we get this book and the stuff that they said in the New York Times is not in the book, then I'm telling you the Republicans are going to take John Bolton to the cleaners. They're going to wipe him, mop him up on the floor. Because don't have this thing laying out there and you know it's false and not say it's false, because right, you're doing it for book sales, you whore. Let's go to Jeff. Sorry. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, I get busy and I just can't hold for that long.
That was just a 1 minute break.
Oh, this one was, but this is the third 1 minute break I've had to hang up on. Well, I tell you, it seems like they know that, it seems like the Democratic Party knows that they have nothing else. They have nothing else to run against Trump with for the November election. So they have to have something such as a cover-up to have at least one talking point. And they knew that there was nothing to cover up, but they can use that as a talking point because they have nothing else. My question to you is at what point is someone going to convince Tulsi Gabbard to follow the New Jersey Democratic representative's lead and cross over into the into the educated, informed side of politics?
Well, I'm sorry to say that Tulsi's district would not put up with that.
Well, it seems like that she is more in line with Donald Trump's philosophy.
She is, but you got to remember, Van Drew is in a district that is a Trump 12 plus 12 district. In other words, he won by 12 points in his district. That will get your attention.
I see. Now, here in the state, what district is it, or where is it that Coach Tuberville is running as a Republican? Because I listened to him the other day.
He's running for U.S. Senate.
Statewide.
Okay, because he was, I agreed with every single point that he stood on, and I was looking forward to your thoughts on that as well. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. News Channel 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back right after this.
News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Let's face it. Credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I take my daughter and her college friends out for sushi? Here's my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR, but with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate.
Thanks, Lightstream.
Want an even lower interest rate? Apply today at lightstream.com/news and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/news for an additional discount. Lightstream.com/news.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/news for more information.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Roger Stern. The president's impeachment trial resuming this hour with more arguments from the defense team. But the big issue is whether to call witnesses, including former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Democrats want to hear from him. Republicans, not so much.
There have only been two Republican senators who have definitively said that they want to call witnesses. And that's Mitt Romney, the Republican senator from Utah, and Susan Collins from Maine.
Fox's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill. President Trump announcing a peace plan for the Middle East.
I was not elected to do small things or shy away from big problems.
The deal would grant the Palestinians their own state if they meet certain benchmarks, including rooting out terrorism. Palestinian leaders have already rejected the plan. America is listening to Fox News.
Hello, this is Yasmin Hosted with Beauty and Beyond. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for 10 years plus. If you would like to increase your business, use Blue Water Broadcasting radio stations. They get results.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com. Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas
Weather. Hi, everybody. We have a nice day underway. Lots of sunshine around and comfortable for late in January. High temperature up to about 64. Not bad. Partly cloudy tonight, chilly, but not as chilly as last night. Overnight low 42. Tomorrow, showers are likely from time to time. High in the mid-50s. On Thursday, we're back to dry weather. Highs in the low 60s. Should be a nice day. But more showers on Friday as the next disturbance moves into the area. That's out of the way by the weekend. The weekend is dry. We have a warming trend. In fact, we'll be in the mid to upper 60s, I think, by Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
CBNS Bank has digital banking solutions to help you keep up. Check balances, pay bills, transfer funds, manage your card, deposit checks, and much more. Learn more at cbsbank.com. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Joey, we ought to start a drinking game every time we hear Bombshell.
Oh, Lord. Well, I don't think we could.
I don't think we'd make it.
Yeah, FCC regulations.
I would never see it, the coronavirus. Can you believe they're building a, I thought it was 1,000-bed hospital, 3,000-bed hospital in 10 days?
Wow.
In case of earthquake, do not be in that hospital. That thing's going to fall, that thing's going to drop like a house of cards. I mean, they're built in 10 days.
I guess it's one of these just, you know, warehouses kind of structures. They can just throw it up real quick with framing and steel.
They're doing 24 hours a day, and they're just, and I watched them pouring the slab, and, you know, if you've ever been around concrete, it takes concrete a while to cure.
Sure.
And
it could easily crack. If you don't
exactly.
Do it right.
If you don't do it right, you may have that building wrapped around your knees here. Let's do this. Let's go to Nancy Cordes. Watch how they do the setup of this, speaking of Bombshell.
Republicans face growing pressure to call witnesses in the president's impeachment trial after reports of explosive allegations from former National Security Advisor John Bolton in his upcoming book. Some in the GOP who had expressed their openness to calling witnesses are now doubling down on that view, while others still appear to be very unmoved. Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill with more on this story. Nancy, realistically, what are the chances you think that John Bolton will, in fact, testify?
Well, Gail, if you just look at the math, we're now just one senator away from having the votes that Democrats need in order to bring Bolton in to testify. They've got three Republicans. They're looking for one more. This Bolton firestorm ignited a huge controversy here on Capitol Hill right in the middle of the trial, but it went largely unmentioned by the president's defense team.
There was cause to raise the issue about the Bidens and Burisma.
The president's legal team focused its defense yesterday on presidential candidate Joe Biden.
After Vice President Biden was made U.S. point man for Ukraine, his son Hunter Biden ends up on the board of Burisma.
It wasn't until the final hour of arguments that John Bolton's name even came up.
Nothing in the Bolton revelations, even if true, would rise to the level of an abuse of power or an impeachable offense.
Okay, so Nancy Corey's going to be talking about witnesses. Now, she said three. I know of two, and that's Collins and Romney. But both of them have said it's not just Bolton, it's going to be witnesses. So the Democrats might get stuck with that. In other words, we're going to vote on witnesses, they do it as a package, and then the Democrats aren't willing to vote for that.
I saw a write-up that Senator Toomey's floated this one-for-one idea.
Right, parody.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll go with that.
I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to go, they wanted witnesses that had nothing to do with this trial, with the exception of Donald Trump was mentioning him. Them in a transcript.
Do you think that's what they actually want, is to be able to, as Ted Cruz was saying, just table bang? All the table banging?
Yeah,
and
They just want the specter that's out there. That's all they want. Let's stay with Nancy Cordes.
According to the New York Times, Bolton, in his upcoming book, says that President Trump directly conditioned military aid to Ukraine on an investigation into the Bidens. And while some Republicans shrugged that revelation off,
I think it's going to vindicate the president.
Democrats say the information Bolton has is more crucial than ever.
First-hand knowledge mandates that we hear from him.
And they just need four Republicans to side with them. Three Republicans have already said they're open to it, including Utah Senator Mitt Romney.
I think it's increasingly likely that other Republicans will join those of us who think we should hear from John Bolton.
On Monday, President Trump denied Bolton's claims.
I can tell you nothing was ever said to John Bolton, but I have not seen a manuscript.
And some of his defenders warned that a vote against the president could be costly.
Do you think Republican senators face political repercussions if they break with the president?
Yeah, I do. I mean, listen, I don't want to speak for my Senate colleagues, but there are always political repercussions for every vote you take. There is no vote that is higher profile than this.
Sources tell us some Senate Republicans are angry that the White House had this Bolton manuscript for weeks and never said anything about it to them. Even leader Mitch McConnell himself was blindsided. One Senate Republican, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, is now trying to pitch his GOP colleagues on a one-for-one swap where Republicans would get a witness they want to hear from in exchange for Democrats getting one of theirs, ostensibly Bolton.
Well, we'll see. Now, Senator Langford has got an interesting twist on the Bolton revelation. Let's listen in.
So President Trump brushing off the Bolton claims, the book's publisher adamantly denying any coordination with the media, and the president's defense team says regardless, none of the facts have changed.
Now, it follows from this that if a president, any president, were to have done what the Times reported about the contact of the Bolton manuscript, that would not constitute an impeachable offense. Let me repeat, nothing in the Bolton revelations, even if true, would rise to the level of an abuse of power or an impeachable offense.
But are the Bolton revelations ramping up the pressure for senators to vote to hear from witnesses? Well, let's ask one. Joining me now, Republican from Oklahoma, Senator James Lankford. And I've had a look at the copious notes that you have been taking as this is playing out. How are you feeling today, this many days in, now with this surprise yesterday? Anonymous sources, the New York Times not even quoting the manuscript itself, making allegations about what he is going to say in his upcoming book. Does it change the equation for a number of those senators who were kind of on the edge about whether or not they will vote for hearing witnesses?
Sure, everybody wants to be fair in the process. The House clearly was not fair through their whole process and blocked a lot of things out. Everybody wants to be fair. We also know that we're answering the questions that we've been asked. And so we're trying to be able to go through the evidence. The House said we have enough evidence to be able to impeach, so we're going through that evidence. We're not a special counsel in the Senate. We're not trying to broaden this out and make this some massive thing. For the revelation that came out last night from the New York Times story that apparently someone who's read it told a reporter who wrote a story who's printed out, so we've got several versions of this going out. For that person, I say two things. One is John Bolton's no shrinking violet. I mean, he's not afraid of the camera, and he's got very bold, strong opinions. Any microphone in America is open to John Bolton. If he wants to go start talking to somebody, be able to talk about it, everybody's welcome to be able to hear him. The second thing is we do need to be able to see that manuscript at some point. So there are ways that they can go ahead and just make that available to the senators, and so we can get a chance to be able to see it and to be able to get that, to be able to know more about it rather than have that just hanging out there. But I don't think it's an unrealistic thing for us to say the White House got a copy of it. It's in a classified area because it's not finished with the classification review on it. All of us have classification on it. We should be able to read that and just be able to review it.
So you're not asking for something that would be a Senate vote for more documents or witnesses. You're saying just to see it in its current format.
That's correct. That's correct. We should be able to see it in the current format, be able to make a wise decision at that point.
That's an interesting notion. So in other words, get the manuscript, read it, and see what it says. Does it say what the New York Times article said it said? And then what questions would you ask from that? Let's go to the phone. So let's go to RD. RD, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Have you seen this little thing? I read something where today that Vindman's brother was working in the government in the part that would be reviewing Bolton's manuscript.
He is a... Yeah, well, I reported on that yesterday. He's an attorney in the NSC at the White House.
Okay, so he did read. He would have access to it. I just wonder if he could be the leaker.
He could be. He could be a hundred other people, too.
I just saw if y'all seen that.
We reported on it yesterday. RD, thanks for the telephone call. Let me go to a break. Coming back, we're going to have Barry Moore in the House right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Come on, boy. Finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Hey, have you heard about what's happening at Wind Creek Casino and Hotel?
No, but I've heard it's the coolest casino and hotel ever.
Well, now, if you join Wind Creek Rewards, they'll reimburse you with free play for up to $1,000.
They'll give me back as much as $1,000?
I know, right? They call it the New Player Promise, and they'll also throw in some free food so we don't go hungry.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go to Wind Creek Casino and Hotel.
New members only. Minimum $75 loss required. Visit WinCreek.com for complete rules.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228.
Last night I had a dream that the world was changing by leaps and bounds. It started up in the bigger city.
let's get on with the interview here. We have second congressional district candidate Barry Morgan. Barry, welcome aboard the Damo Show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate y'all having.
He called us gentlemen. Said strike one. Bad.
Used loosely.
Yeah, there you go. Bad judgment on his part. Barry, how are you doing today?
Pretty good for an old man on the campaign trail.
There you go. Let's do this.
In the bushes.
So you just left the Republican meeting at the farmer's market.
River Region.
All right, but you didn't have any of the collards at the farmer's market.
I did not. I usually, if I'm going to speak, I don't eat. Yeah. That's a good diet program.
Yeah, it is.
Going door to door, but I just, today, I didn't have a chance to eat. So maybe
I would do the same thing. When people offer me lunch, I can't do it because I'll get food in my mouth. You see me choking up
there. Get it on your tie or something. I don't know. I don't feel comfortable eating before I speak, so I didn't eat, but they have some great food.
They really do. Tell the audience why you're running for 2nd Congressional District. As a member of Congress.
Well, you know, I guess partly because we need some people that are actually going to go fight and be fighters. I was asked by the Trump team in 2018 to run, remember? And I had term limited myself in the Alabama House, so I kind of thought I was getting out of politics, to be honest with you guys. And so when the team asked me, granted we had an income but with a couple of million dollars, but when she pulled her support from the president, and I was a Trump delegate, the first in the nation endorsing, I felt it incumbent upon us to be a voice for this district in Vox Pipeline when I was in Alabama House, a voice of the people. So we just felt like we needed to step up. So we did. And then naturally, when Martha said she wasn't running again, my phone began to blow up. They said, man, you've done this before. You've been faithful and loyal to our president. You've been a good representative. Please get in the race. So here we are.
Tell the audience about your background. Well, let me do this. So I have full line here. Well, no, we're
already
there.
Had that's that. Right. Yeah,
I'm clock oriented. Tell the audience about your background, where you're from, what offices you've held, your relationship with Trump, campaign Trump, and so on.
That's a lot of questions, Dan. But if I miss one, you just back me up.
You got it.
I grew up in Enterprise, Alabama.
Lovely Enterprise, Alabama.
Yeah, just south of town there, on a farm, and went on to Auburn and got my degree in ag science. I eventually was able to come back and start a waste hauling company, a garbage company, and started out driving a garbage truck. So I tell everybody, if you go to Auburn, be careful, you may end up being a garbage man. So I started that company from scratch with the truck and built the business. To this day, I still have a shower in my office because I tell you what, man, I was the maintenance man. You name it. I had to do it, the driver, the sales rep, the whole nine. So we built that business. The Lord blessed us, and we grew BMI into a nice small company. So in 2006, the Republican Party said, would you consider running? I'd never ran for office. And actually, at the time, I told them no. I didn't think it was something I wanted to do. And then when Barack Obama came out, I'll never forget, around 2008, said we're no longer a Christian nation, I told my wife, I said, Heather, if we don't step up, who's going to? I mean, we've got to have people that are willing to go do this. And so we agreed in 2010 to get in the race. We won. We beat a 3-term Democrat, came into the Alabama House of Representatives, served the first 4 years, and became labeled the most dependable conservative vote at all 35 House members and 105, or all 35 Senate members and 105 House members. And so I was just always voting my convictions. It didn't matter to me what the lobby said. It didn't matter what the leadership said. I knew what the district was. I knew what my conservative values was, and I voted that way. And so 2014, I was honored to be named chair of Military and Veterans Affairs, and we carried a package of bills over the years to really help our military families. That's near and dear to my heart. I'm former Alabama National Guard. My brother's a Marine. My son-in-law's 82nd Airborne Ranger. So we've got a long history of serving this nation and serving this country and serving this state. And so when President Trump, at the time Donald Trump, was coming to Mobile, Alabama, I was in my second term. I wasn't running again. And I got a call, said, would you like to go down and meet him? And the next day I was supposed to meet with Scott Walker, Wisconsin, and then Marco Rubio was in state. So we had a bunch of guys that needed our endorsements, needed our support. But we got down there and felt a piece about stepping up for Donald Trump at the time. And he was 1 of 17, had no chance of winning the thing. And went out on the stage and become the first elected official in the nation to endorse him. That was August 21st, 2015. And from there, the ball began to roll. I became a Trump delegate. My daughter, Kathleen, she ran as a Trump delegate in Auburn. Back then, you didn't have a bunch of people running to be Trump delegates because there was a very likely chance that he was going to get the nomination. So,
little did they know.
Little did they know. But at any rate, Alabama had the first elected official in the nation endorse Trump. That was me. And they had the youngest Trump delegate in the nation. That was my daughter, Kathleen. So we were on the Trump train before it left the station, before it had any momentum, before everybody was jumping on the bandwagon, as we say. And so I was with his when his bus came. I was with him 3 or 4 times in Alabama. Obviously, was a delegate. Was the inauguration. And I carried a resolution in 2017 on the floor of the House. encouraging U.S. Congress and Senate from Alabama to support Donald Trump. So we've been fighting that fight for a long time. So I'm in this kind of reluctantly, but I'm willing to go serve. And being a fighter, I think the president needs some people he can trust. He knows who we are. Introductions will not be required. We know who he is, and we're going to fight for him.
I like that. And when you travel the district, what are constituents saying to you are their biggest concerns?
Well, I think, you know, the national debt, I've heard that a couple of times, the border wall, people are concerned about that. And I guess since this impeachment thing has started, I had a lady ask me at church Sunday, Mr. Moore, are they going to get rid of our president? And I told them not to worry about it. I didn't think he had any teeth in it at all. But there's just some things there. I see people kind of concerned about the direction the nation's going. Naturally, the debt is an issue. We're kind of going off a cliff. That's people more in the know that ask me about that. The wall's a big issue right now. But I think the biggest thing right now is, how do we protect the president and the man that we duly elected as president? What do we do to make sure that he's okay and some people help him get the job done?
So Trump staying there is the most important thing, and then budget is second, or wall is second?
I think to the general public, probably the wall, because that's an everyday thing that we see. You see crime, you see the fuss about the wall and the issues that the nation has with the sanctuary cities trying to force that down our throats. So I think the general public, that's the consensus. Long term, we've got to look at the debt, though. I that's an issue down the road.
What type of committees would you like to be on?
I chaired Armed Services for Alabama, so the Armed Services Committee for Congress would be a big area. You know, we were crucial in bringing those F-35s to Maxwell Gunner. That package of seven bills that I carried through the House was what helped land those F-35s here. So I certainly want to serve in that capacity, having family members that have fought and died and served this nation and family members there, knowing it's so big for Fort Rucker and Maxwell Gunner with those two bases. We need a voice on that committee for Alabama, and of course ag too, having an ag science degree and understanding what these farmers face each year to put that money out there to roll the dice to try to make a living. It's a couple areas I see I can serve.
Is there a particular member of Congress that you identify with?
That's a good question, because policy-wise, I think Mo Brooks, I probably identify pretty closely with Mo.
Good friend of the show.
Yeah, is he? I didn't know. But Mo, I've met with him a couple times, and I actually went in and met with the Freedom Caucus. Mo got me in with them. I went up the night before the impeachment started and went to the Republican Caucus dinner that night and kind of, you know, just the members having a little meal and talking about this impeachment opening the next day. And Jim Jordan was there and a couple of other guys that were Devin Nunes. Just really, really good fighters, Mark Meadows, for the president. So we left there, and I went to a Freedom Caucus meeting. And I'm telling you guys, out of 435 congressmen and women, there's about 25 in that room that are Freedom Caucus people. And to me, those guys represent the true patriots of the nation, the people outside the K Street money, the people that are actually there for the right reasons, that are not looking long-term to be in Congress, not trying to make a career, but trying to save a nation. And that's kind of where I see myself fitting in. And I had a concern because I was like, okay, how do you guys line up with the president? Because, you know, I'm a Trump guy, too, and I think the Lord's hands on him. I think that's the reason he's there. Believe it or not, I believe that's why the man's there at this time in our nation. And so I wanted to make sure that we were working kind of on the same sheet of music and that they were okay with Trump and he was okay with them. And come to find out, they talked daily to the White House. So especially during the impeachment, Jim Jordan and those guys, they were working closely with the president. And so they don't agree on the numbers on the budgets all the time. But I tell you this, they sure do support him. And I think they see he's trying to do what he told people he would do when he ran. And so it's just comforting to know that we've got those members of Congress, that 25, 30 members of Freedom Caucus, and the President of the United States that really care about the people.
Is there anyone of those members in particular that you identify with?
You know, I don't know them all that well.
Mo Brooks?
Yeah. I know Mo pretty well, and I like him. I like what Dan Crenshaw's doing. I think Crenshaw, I don't think he's in the Freedom Caucus yet, but when I listen to him and talk with him, I think he's one of those guys that seems to be a great patriot.
The interesting part is that when you look at television now and you look at the people that are on TV being interviewed, 8 out of 10 times it's a Freedom Caucus member. If they're not leadership, it's a Freedom Caucus member. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they're the face and voice.
They're the tip of the spear for the American people, and especially on this impeachment. I mean, those are the men that have stepped up, Jim Jordan and those questionings and Mark Meadows, those guys during those House Judiciary Committee hearings. Those were the men that were hitting the defense for the president and doing a fine job. So I kind of see me identifying with those people. You call us right-wing nut jobs, whatever you want to, but that's kind of where I fit in. I mean, that's what everybody always sees. You know, he's a right-wing nut.
I'm conservative, guys. Far-right nut jobs here.
Well, that's good. I fit okay in.
There you go. You'll fit in real well. Barry, when you have a National Guard background, What did you think about Donald Trump and when he was pulling troops out of Syria?
Well, you know, I think Donald Trump really does care about the soldiers and the American people. And one of the things he told us in Mobile in 2015, he said, hey, I'm going to take care of our veterans. I'm going to take over active duty. We can't police the world, guys. And we can't be getting our men hurt and our women who serve this nation, who are losing limbs to IEDs or whatever they are, just policing the world. That's just, and a lot of times there's no target, there's no goal, and especially the rules of engagement. At least Trump changed those. Under Obama, they had their hands tied. They couldn't fire until they were fired upon. And that gets people killed. And so, to me, I trust the president. I know he's got some good people around him. And I know he loves our American soldiers and our veterans. And so, at the end of the day, he's getting information and evidence that we don't always have. But so far, I trust his judgment and his leadership, the way he's handled North Korea even. I mean, he got criticized for taking out Soleimani. That man had killed a lot of American people, a lot of soldiers, 600 of them, I think was the count. So I trust Trump and his leadership. I know he loves the nation. I don't believe the man's working with ulterior motives. I truly believe he cares for this country and for our soldiers.
Yeah, Trump has a style and a method about him that people are just not used to. If they would read his book, they would learn an awful lot about him. The art of the deal is exactly what his administration is. He is a negotiator and a deal maker. Barry Moore is in the house. We've got to go to our top hour break. Final hour of the Dan Moore Show coming up.
Place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump's legal team is wrapping up opening arguments in the Senate impeachment trial today. Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen renewing calls for witness testimony.
Everyone in America knows that when you have a trial, and it's a fair trial, people get to call relevant fact witnesses.
Tomorrow, lawmakers will begin 16 hours of questions to attorneys on both sides before a possible vote whether to allow witnesses to testify. The president denies any wrongdoing. President Trump today announcing a proposal for peace in the Middle East.
This is an unprecedented and highly significant development.
The proposal would eventually lead to the creation of a state of Palestine if certain guidelines are met. It also recognizes Israeli sovereignty of major settlement blocks in the West Bank. The Palestinians are rejecting the proposal, saying President Trump favors Israel at the expense of Palestine. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by JB Windows and Siding, powered by Jones Brothers Roofing.
Quality, beauty, value, and